Amen. Amen. So go ahead and turn to Romans 9. Amen. So we had VBS last week. And I think the best time for me was Friday night when everybody was gone and Brother Jim gave me a hammer and let me smash some wood and separate it. Amen. Just feels good sometimes breaking stuff. Amen. So I had a 13 or 14 little boys every night, 5 and 6 years old. And it's just so funny. I'd love to have some crackhead reporter just in the room watching. Because I had a group of boys that hopefully are going to grow up to be men. They're offensive words these days, I know, because we're all supposed to be the same. But we're not. And it's really cool, you know, the girls in my wife's class are worried about their hair and butterflies and ponies. And the boys in my class are wanting to break something, wanting someone to hit them so they bleed, so they can get a Band-Aid, wanting to try to do something and see if who will hurt themselves first. And it's just funny. It's cool to see that some kids are still kids, and some boys have some grit to them, amen. They haven't been feminized by this world yet, amen. So let's go ahead and start off with prayer. We'll go into Romans 9. Lord, I love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for being so good to me, Lord. I just thank you for my church, Lord. I just thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to teach your word. Lord, I just encourage everybody here, Lord, no matter what I think or what I feel, Lord, they see what your book says, Lord, and they check it out for themselves, Lord. Help us to know the God of this Bible and not the God of this world. Please, Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know where they're going to spend eternity, Lord, please ask you to save them from hell. Lord, if there's somebody here, Lord, who's saved and they have no desire to know more about you, Lord, I ask you to prick their heart, Lord. Help us all throughout the week, Lord, just to study your word and pray and read. And there's so many other things in this world going on. Lord, help us just to give you more of our attention and our affection. Again, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have to keep Michael Shane in prayer. He's over in Oklahoma. Amen. So let's see how that goes. I asked him to find out about the Trail of Tears and all this stuff. So I read a book just recently about the Trail of Tears. It's about the Cherokee Indians and how wicked the government was to push them away. But the book was written with a slight slant that most kids wouldn't pick up on. But this kid did, amen, when he read it. I got done reading the book, and for about a good hour and a half, I hated white people. The way the book was written, it was the evil, wicked white man that did all this bad stuff. When in reality, it wasn't. It was the government. So in reality, we need to hate the government. Now, when I read books, I get into them. Mildred Taylor, I wouldn't recommend reading any of her books. She's a black author. She writes some hard books about the Civil War. I read her books. I got done reading her books. I really hated white people. I wanted to be black. It was crazy, but she wrote really well. She's gotten some crazy stuff, but you have to be careful when you're reading. And I relate that to when you're reading something on the internet or Facebook, you have to really pay attention to what you're reading and really think about it. Because the problem is we just go with it. And if I didn't know my history, I would have believed what they had written, hook, line, and sinker, and gone for it. Every lie has a bit of truth to it. There are exceptions to every rule, and I know everything can happen under the sun. What happened in Virginia yesterday, I'd say mostly both sides of the aisle need to be shot. Because we've got people on both ends that are idiots. They both have good points, and they both have some true statements. But in the world, people get so offended. Dave's standing up pulling out a gun on me. But people just can't handle it. So the sad thing is, though, our feelings and our emotions and our thoughts, we get from the media. We get from a movie, from a Hallmark commercial. We don't get from the book. So that's my desire whenever I'm teaching Sunday school is that somebody will look, what does God say? Well, so-and-so says this, and my friend says this, and my neighbor says this. Who cares? What does God say? Yeah. Does it apply to me? Amen. So we're going to go ahead and start. We finished off, I think, in verse 16. So we'll go ahead and hit verse 17, Romans 9, 17. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we are going to hit a few more verses today. So Romans 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So here the word scripture is substituted for God, because back in Moses' time, they didn't have any scripture. So God puts his word on the same level as him, how he wants you to make it important in your life and do something. Let's go to Exodus 9:16. So it's Genesis, Exodus. So Exodus 9:16. I'm going to get Brother Mike, the Polish guy. I'm going to mess his last name up, amen, to read Exodus 9:16. So here's the Lord talking to Pharaoh, talking to Moses and stuff about Pharaoh, and he's telling him, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So raise, I like to look at the words, see what they mean. People raise a building. They build something. They lift something up. At work, everybody desires a raise, an increase. So we're going to get into Pharaoh here a little bit. I'm going to say this now, and I'll say this with the verses, because people get this confused all the time. God gives you free will. Pharaoh had a choice to let God's people go. God knew in his foreknowledge that Pharaoh wasn't going to do it. God knows what we're going to do, but he gives us the avenue or the route to not do it. So we have a choice to make. You don't have to sin. I never forget, Brother Diamond, you said in class, he'd say, you can go a second without sinning if you want. You could go a minute. You could go longer. You don't have to sin. And after a second or two, I'm starting thinking, I wish he'd shut up. I like to do this. And it's like, then you start sinning. So, but we can do it. We just have conditioned ourselves just to go with everything. So you don't have to sin, but we're going to sin. So here, let's read a few more verses in this, then we're going to kind of connect it all. So let's look at 9:18. We're back in Romans 9. Let's look at verse 18. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Well, hold on a minute. It says, therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. So the way I see that, it says that God will show mercy to who he wants to and not who he doesn't want to. God doesn't choose sides. God doesn't pick people. Yes, he does, amen. The God of the Bible does. He wants you to do right. The Bible says you're a stranger and alien if you're not saved. He created hell because he wants it simple so you don't have to go to hell. We've got to get this queer, liberal, long-haired, dope-smoking Jesus out of our mind. That ain't the Jesus of the Bible. You know, the Scooby-Doo cartoon you watched or the movie you saw or the painting you saw, that wasn't my Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible, amen. So here in 18, he says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. A lot of people want grace and mercy on them. They don't give a flip about God. They don't want to do right. It's kind of strange. I wonder what God they're worshiping, what they're thinking. So let's take a look back in Exodus. We just mentioned this about Pharaoh. Let's go back to Exodus in chapter 3. Exodus 3, we're going to look at verse 19. I'll get Brother Eric Tweed to read it, amen. Exodus 3, verse 19.
I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand.
And I am sure that the king of Egypt. So that's God's foreknowledge. So God can do what he wants, amen, with his people, with his creation. But if you've got an old piece of junk car and you know it's not going to start, you're most likely going to do two things to it after you've tried to fix it. You're either going to junk it or Don't hit it, it's a preacher. Amen. So the problem is we put ourselves up higher. We think we're worth something. We are in the sense that Jesus Christ died for us and he loves us, but we're not as high and mighty as we think we are. No matter what we think we know or what we think we do or how we think we look or how much money we think we have, we have to put ourselves in perspective here. So now again, this whole chapter is talking about all the things the Jews had and how they rejected it. They rejected Christ. So let's look at verse 19 in Romans 9:19. Romans 9:19. I wish I was one of those teachers or preachers that could, like Joel Osteen, show my teeth a lot and smile and say things softly and gently. So I've said this before. I don't really wish like that. I'm being facetious. But my daughter's dog, I can whisper to the dog, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And I whisper it. And the dog wags her tail and gets all excited. But I can scream, "I love you, I love you, get over here, there's a train coming," or whatever, and she gets scared because of the tone of my voice. Christian, you're not a dog. You got to listen to the words. No matter who's up here or what they're saying, don't go by their tone. Go by what they're saying. Listen to the words. My wife's grandfather had a stroke. And after his stroke, he was very loud and very angry. And if you were to take out the loudness, the anger, and every other word being a curse word, you could understand he wasn't that bad of a guy. He just, after the stroke, it messed his brain up a little bit and all that kind of mess. So just pay attention to the words. So here in Romans 9, let's read verse 19. So we're going through the book of Romans 9:19. "Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?" So let's go back to Exodus and look at 5. Chapter 5. So what we're doing here is we're going to look at a will. You're not stronger than God in your physical strength. Your will isn't stronger than God, but God allows you to have free will. He allows you, like preacher would say, enough rope to hang yourself, amen? He doesn't want that. So Exodus 5:2, Brother Squeak.
"And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go."
Amen, that's pretty harsh there. "And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Who are you? I don't care what God says. You're telling me, I don't want to hear it. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Sounds like before the plagues start, I think in 7, Pharaoh's already made his mind up. Pharaoh doesn't care. Christian, sometimes we got our mind made up. We need to start caring, amen? So here's Israel in bondage. The Lord still works all these miracles to get him out, but I wanted to focus on the will here. So let's go to John 3:36. I know it's a lot of turning, amen. It's good though. John 3:36. You get Brother Mo? Now I got to read that again. I love that verse. So he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So there's a choice there to believe or not believe. Let's go to Revelation 22:17. Revelation 22:17. I'm going to say to Sister Stacy, Revelation 22:17.
"And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him
Amen. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So there's some free will here. I grew up a Catholic, lost and on my way to hell, and then I got saved years later. But not all Catholics are Christian. I can tell you from firsthand, I wasn't a Christian until I was 27 when I got saved. I thought I was a Christian. I lived cleaner than most Christians lived. But I wasn't saved. I wasn't a Christian. So the Catholics, almost 1,000 years ago, decided they wanted a piece of dirt that was God's. And the Muslims decided they want it. So they tried to take it at sword point. And the Catholics and Muslims at sword point would chop your head off. Now, the Catholics have cut it back some in America. In other countries, they still do it. Muslims are back to doing it again. At the point of a sword or an AK-47, they want you to convert. That's not Christianity. If someone comes to you with a knife and says, say I love Jesus or I'm going to cut your head off, saying I love Jesus doesn't get you to heaven. It might save your head that day. So that's what the Catholics were doing. They were going off in a sword point. And what they were doing is they weren't going after, there wasn't a Reformation yet. They weren't going after Protestants. Before the Protestants came, there were the Anabaptists and the Waldenses and all these different groups that believed the words of God and said you get baptized after you get saved, that your only way to heaven is through trusting Jesus Christ. And the Catholics saw you're interfering with our business, so they started going after people. So true Christianity is free will. I witness a squeak. He tells me to go jump in a lake. My flesh, I might want to cut his head off, but my spirit tells me I'm going to go home and pray for him until he gets saved. When I see him again, I'm going to kill him with kindness. I'm going to be nice to him and pray for him. I'm not going to condone his sin. I'm not going to tell him it's okay to keep living the way he's living, but I'm going to keep telling him, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved. He's going to get madder and madder and hate me, but I'm not going to pull out a gun and blow his brains out. That's not Christianity. I want him to make his own free will choice in his heart to accept Jesus Christ and trust him. That's what's so scary working with kids, because some people get so excited. Here, little boy, receiving Jesus Christ is just as easy as taking this pencil. Now take this and you've received Jesus. No. There's a hell. You're going to burn forever for your sin. You need to realize that you're a sinner. Most people know that and they revel in it these days. So you need to admit that. You need to believe Jesus Christ died for you, rose again. And then you need to call on him and ask him to come and save you. Amen. So people make it too hard sometimes, and they make it too wishy-washy. You got to talk about Jesus Christ. There's got to be some acknowledgement of sin. Right? Amen? So let's take a look here. The last thing here for this will is let's go to 1 Samuel 23. And anybody involved with VBS, we were going through the life of David this year. And I told my kids every night when we talked and gave the story, I would talk about David. Because David did a lot of good, but David did a lot of bad. But the cool thing about David, when David did bad, David said he was sorry. And he was a king. He didn't need to say he's sorry to anybody. But David's heart, he didn't care how much he knew, how strong he was, how tough he was, how smart he was, how rich he was. He knew he needed to get things right. David always got things right. And it was a blessing because I had a little Landon one night, like every little boy in my class. They all were bad at different days and different times. And after class, I know not Landon, but after class, just out of the blue, he came up to me, not because I forced him, not because I was offering him candy. Brother Joe had already given him the candy. He said, Brother Ken, I'm sorry if I was bad this week. I know I was bad. I'm sorry. That was really cool to have a little kid come up and say he's sorry. And no, he wasn't really that bad. No kids really are that bad, but it's good that he has an idea, hey, I need to have a standard, and if I'm not living up to it, I need to apologize, repent, and get back on track. Now, he could have gone home and got drunk and hated life and got mad at church, but instead, he got things right, amen? Yeah. Amen. He's a tough six-year-old, amen. Amen. So, 1 Samuel 23. So, here's David running from Saul. David's anointed to be king, but Saul's still in charge. So let's read 1 Samuel 23, verses 11 through 13. Brother Chad, 1 Samuel 23, 11 to 13. Read, you can read 13 too, yeah. Amen. So here's David in town talking to God. God, if I stay, all this stuff's going to happen. God says all these things are going to happen. David takes free will and says, I'm not staying here. I'm getting out of town. David used his free will to leave and go and do something different. We have free will. I hate it when people say the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. The devil doesn't even know who most of us are. It's our stinking flesh. It's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's us who is our biggest problem, amen? So let's go back to Romans. Now, why did I hit that about will? I didn't go over a lot, I know, but hit it briefly. Because there are some people out there, we call them Calvinists, because John Calvin started the tulip system. They believe that you have no free will. They believe that you're born, and the day you're born, God looks down and says, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, and God picks. That's not Bible. God gives you free will. And we're going to hit a verse here in a few minutes to talk about that. So back in Romans 9, let's read verse 20, Romans 9, 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So, who art thou? Let's go to 1 Timothy. Now, I'm applying spiritually, of course, some stuff to us, mixing this in here with a historical application, but we know this is going through talking to the Jews, but spiritually, we can apply a lot of this to us. So, 1 Timothy, let's go to chapter 1. Yeah, Brother Cody, 1 Timothy 1:15. He was trying hard not to look up at me. I was like, man, his neck is straining, so I got to call on him. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15.
This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Of whom I am chief. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 2:7. Back to Genesis, first book of the Bible. And Brother Blunkall said this, and all the times I've read it, my brain, because I hear something all the time. That's why you want to be careful. That's why I need to be careful when I'm reading. You need to pay attention to words. Brother Blunkall said this. So Genesis 2:7. Sister Debbie? Genesis 2:7. So there's a lot we could talk about here, but we're going to talk about the dust. It's just a dust ball. My whole life I've been told we're formed from the dirt. I've read the word dust, but every time I read it, I guess my brain, I'm just saying dirt. Come from the dirt, come from the dirt. We're just dust balls. If somebody can go in a house, it's a little bit of dirt, and they can deal with it, wipe it up quick, but dust, people hate. So we're nothing, amen. We're the chiefest of sinners. We're nothing. We're filthy. The problem is, you send out your little tweet or text or whatever it is on Facebook, and how well do you know me and love me, and how wonderful do you think I am? And everyone says, oh, you're 100 stars out of 100 stars. And then you, man, I am something. I am somebody. I've arrived. You're really nothing, amen. God will use you. You can be something, but you're a nobody. When you get that down, because we're only supposed to compare ourselves to God, we compare ourselves to each other. It's not wise, the Bible tells us. So if I compare myself to God, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. Okay, one of God's children steps on me, I'm nobody anyway. I can get over it. Suck it up. Amen? Keep on moving. So now if I think I'm something, you know, like I'm a rock star, how dare this cop pull me over? Does he know who I am? Who cares who you are? I mean, I wish cops could punch people in the nose and roll them in the dump. That'd be awesome. Amen. So
The problem is we're not rock stars, amen. We're supposed to be servants, amen. We're supposed to be on the bottom looking up. The lower you are, the easier it is to look up, amen. You get too high, you start looking down. So let's go over to Genesis 1:27. So this is a connection here, and I got to hit these few verses to get rid of this myth. Now, spiritually, when you get saved, you are a child of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to pick on somebody real quick. I'll pick on Dave Hebert. I like picking on Brother Dave. So, amen. So Brother Dave, as pretty as Brother Dave is not after God's own image. Everyone says we are after the image of God. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's take a look at this. So let's go to, I don't even know where I said to turn here. Genesis 1, 27. So Genesis 1, 27. Brother Dave, why don't you read that for me? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Amen. So we just read. Now this is the account. Adam and then Eve. God creates them in his image. So let's go ahead and take a look in Genesis 5. So sin comes in, defiles everything, gets everything dirty, everything filthy. Let's look at Genesis 5, verse 3. Genesis 5, 3. Sister Emily. Amen. So it's really subtle here. After Adam sins, all this filthy wrong stuff's happening. He's kicked out. He's told about all the curses. You think his image is still the same, or you think he's marred by sin a little? It says here, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. So Adam's son wasn't in God's likeness. It was in his own likeness. So we're of Adam. We're not of Jesus Christ if we're lost. When we're saved, spiritually we're of Jesus Christ, but our flesh, we're after Adam. And what was Adam? Red, ruddy, filthy. He sinned. He was with God, and he broke that fellowship. So let's go to Colossians 1, 4, Colossians 1, we'll read 14 through 18. Okay. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Here it is. So Colossians 1, I'm going to pick on Brother Rick, who survived the trenches last week with the little ones. Colossians 1, 14 through 18.
In whom we have redemption through this blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen. Let's go over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, 9 through 11. Brother Dave Thornton. Amen. So here, the new man is to be in Christ's image. Amen. You get born again. You get saved. So the trick is, I hate the word trick. The thing is, you're either going to be born once and die twice, or be born twice and die once.
So I had a fleshly, earthly birth from my mother. 27 years old, I had a spiritual birth. I was born again. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to back up. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Get Brother Joe Tuck. Amen. I like that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, we should have that new car smell. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24. So you're all going to get offended. I'll read this first, and no one gets offended, anybody but me. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here the Jews are, self-righteous people, seeing all the miracles, all the things that God does, and they reject everything. They reject Jesus Christ. They have the opportunity to accept, and they reject him. A lot of us did the same thing. We finally accept it. We're saved. That's all we want. I don't want a fellowship with God. I'm going to watch the movies I want to watch. I don't give a flip what God thinks about it. I'm going to listen to the music I want to listen to. I don't care what anyone says about it. The sad thing is, you should care what God thinks about something. And then as a Christian, now that you're saved and you're a new creature and you're growing, people are watching you. So you should abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh, man, but I really, really like having 15 scoops of ice cream. Maybe you should cut it back to 10. It's going to be a hindrance to somebody. It sounds stupid. That's how it is, though. Think about it. But this movie, this ice cream scoop, this song, this show, how stupid is that? But you'll let that run your life, and you'll let that get between you and the Bible. And I think I may have mentioned it last week in that article that I read. I thought it was pretty neat. Christians will time themselves. Whew, got my 5 minutes of Bible in, got my hour of Bible in, but they get on that internet and that TV, there's no timer. Why is that? We're just feeding that flesh. So Doc used to do the drawing, old man and new man. The two dogs. The dog you feed is going to get stronger. It's a choice. It's a hard thing. My heart is set, and I'm flesh, and I speak as a fool, and I mess up a lot. I want to do right. I don't always do right. I mess up a lot. I feel like I'm supposed to be here, just filling a pew, scrubbing a toilet, whatever the Lord wants me to do. So if, I'm always picking on Brother Squeak because he's an easy target. He's right there. Brother Squeak comes in and says something I don't like. I'm not here for Brother Squeak. Why am I going to quit church because he upsets me? Brother Squeak doesn't come over, you know, give me a hug with three pats on the back. He only gave me a hug with two pats on the back. If you start analyzing and sitting down and thinking about the things that get you upset, well, I don't like so-and-so because he preaches against this or he says this. Take a breath, say it slower, and look at both sides of it. You'll realize most of your problems are ridiculous. It's yourself. Put them up against the book. Now, I agree, maybe somebody can say it the wrong way, but you get up here enough and read enough and say enough, you're going to say a lot of things the wrong way. Between your nerves, your flesh, being tired, worn out, old, married, all the excuses we have, you're going to mess up sometimes, amen? So the trick is, what's the book say? So I've only got a couple minutes here.
One.
1 minute. Let's just read verse 21, amen? Go back to Romans 9. I'm glad he said that. I thought I had like 12 or something. But no, that's good, amen? I told Brother Joe, he was accountable, that we had the chopping block out back, amen? So let's read Romans 9:21, and we're going to just leave it with this, and we'll talk about this next week. Romans 9, verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So we'll leave it with that if you want to be a vessel of honor or dishonor, and either one can fall the other way. So, Lord, we love you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you for
just taking a small little peek at your word, Lord. Please help us, Lord, in our own time, Lord, to read it, Lord. If I've said something, Lord, that someone doesn't understand or is contrary to what they thought, Lord, if they're comfortable coming to speak to me, Lord, or if not, Lord, going home and praying about it and looking through the Bible, Lord, what a blessing it would be, Lord, to get a discussion, Lord, to get people to start looking to see what the Word of God says. Lord, we're going to have a revival here next week. We're going to have some preachers do some awesome preaching. It's going to be fun and uplifting, but they might make some jokes and say some things in jest that we're going to take for doctrine, Lord. Help us to know our doctrine. Lord, we need to know our doctrine, Lord. Help us to understand true love, Lord, charity, Lord. Please, God, just be with the rest of the service today. Anybody that's got any hang-ups, Lord, or hurts, Lord, or whatever it is, Lord, just help them to give it to you and get it right. We thank you, Lord, for hanging on that cross for us. I ask you to save that soul nearest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I guess we got about 10 minutes or so before church starts. Amen.